So last week, I went to an event. It was like a media launch for Passiefal. You know, when you're passionate, but it was presented by Voelgoed and Kuni and Vanessa and them. And then they had lots of people there that we knew. Retief was on stage. And then there was this lady singing with Retief Burger. And I'm asking everyone, who's that lady? Wow, she's got one amazing voice. Her name is Lizelle Maria. I got her number, got her on the phone. Hello, Lizelle. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thanks, and you?
Fine and fabulous, thank you very much. Okay, so now I know that you can sing, and then when I spoke to you, I found out that you're part of Verander as well. We know Verander as a band, but it's always good to get to know the band members, you see. So let's introduce you, that girl at home with no makeup, who's got no one to impress whatsoever, the one that's just yourself, personality-wise. Who is Lizelle Maria?
Wow, that's always a very difficult question to answer. Because I think as women, we can step into a few different roles. But I am a daughter and a sister and an occupational therapist and a person who always just wants to try and do her best in life.
And the singing, is this generational or is this your thing?
Well, my mother sang when she was in university and she liked the choir music, and she always participated in that. So she was in the University of Johannesburg now, but in that time it was Arai.
Yeah.
She was in their choir, and she always had a love and passion for music, which she just carried over to me.
And you said,
I'm very
thank
thankful
you very
to share
much.
The passion with her.
It's always good when God gifts you with something that's, you know, impressive, that people want to listen to. Because lots of people want to sing, but not necessarily everyone wants to listen to what they have to sing about, you see. It's so when you have a voice, it does open some doors for you. Okay, then what about Verander? Then who are they? How did you get involved there?
Well, we all belong to the same church in Boksburg. So we were all part of the worship team there. And then we started just having a passion for worshiping and working together to praise and worship God. And then the dream started to start a band and to take it further than just our church. And we all started writing and sharing what God has done in our lives and where we are currently in our lives. It's always difficult because when you're in church, you know the band members and your friends, but you never actually really know what happens in the your person's life next to you. You're friends and you just assume everything is going well. And yeah, it was really interesting and humbling to find out what is happening in each other's lives and just to hear about the story and the journey that each of them was walking with God and what they're busy with and how he is working in their lives.
This thing can go two ways now. I mean, vulnerability means you can now start getting to know one another and therefore start trusting one another to be even more vulnerable with one another, which is what it takes to make really good music, as you laying yourself out there. Or when you open up to one another, you can say, nah, mir wat, you sinners, you, and you can retreat a bit. But it seemed that you guys stuck together.
Yes. Oh, it's difficult now because we're all involved in different churches now. Life happened, and that's what happened in 2019. So we're all part of different churches around Gauteng. So we've evolved, and some of them got married, and they have children now. So it's difficult to get together, and but we still keep in touch, and find out what's happening in each other's lives. But it was really a special moment because the name as well. We struggle to find a name that's suitable and that everybody accepted and wanted to take on. But the name Verander is actually like a double meaning because we wanted to change lives, but we also wanted to do it for other people, Verander. So, it was when we heard that name, it just stuck and everybody was happy with it.
Yeah, everybody likes a name with double meanings. We love it when a name does that kind of thing. But what about your walk with Jesus? Because no one starts out a Christian, huh? So how did that happen?
Yeah, I was very privileged to grow up in a Christian family. And I had grandparents and parents who, it was always so special for me. My grandparents took me to school in the primary school because my dad was also a vice principal at a high school. So he had to be there earlier. So he dropped me in the mornings at their house, and then they would take me to primary school. And every morning after breakfast or during breakfast, my grandfather and grandmother would have Bible study
Oh,
together. And then,
wow. Sure.
yes, and then they would pray for every grandchild, every child, every great grandchild on their name and what's happening in their lives. And it was so special to see that they, even if they don't see them a lot, they still, brought them before God in prayer. So I went through a bit of a difficult time in high school. So 2008, it was actually a year in my life with a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And it sounds strange because I was 16 years old. So you can't think that that can happen
What do you
in
mean?
high
It's an
school.
intense age. Everything is hyper at 16.
I know. But that year, and during high school, I always participated in the South African Championships of Performing Arts. So it was with singing and drama. And that year, I got the opportunity to go to Los Angeles to participate in the World Championships of Performing Arts. So it was really a big high in my life and an opportunity that I won't forget very quickly.
Yeah.
In that stage, also, when I got back, we normally had a Great 10 tour, like where they took all the Great 10s to the Cape and they went to do different activities and it's just like a tour for the Great 10s. So I wouldn't have eventually gone on the tour because we spent a lot of money on the championships. And we didn't think that would also fit within everything because I missed a lot of school with the championships. So we didn't think we would wing it. And then when I got back, my parents said, no, I've brought back enough of my spending money. They wanted to give me the opportunity
Oh,
to also
wow.
experience the school tour. So we went on a school tour and it was obviously a lot of fun. It's all your friends and it's memories and activities that you get to experience with your friends. And a lot of the friends on the school tour actually, it was the first time that they've ever seen the ocean in real life. So everything was going well. And then on a day, it was the 24th of September, it was a day that really changed a lot of our lives. And we went on a activity to do wave rafting. And there was a freak accident, actually. The tide changed quite drastically, and we were stuck in the ocean. So we went out like on rubber ducks with four rubber ducks with three learners in each rubber duck. And then, to make a long story short, a few of my friends didn't make it. So I didn't realize the magnitude of the accident while it was happening because you were literally fighting for your life. The waves were extremely big, and you would get on a sandbank, and then everybody who were observing of the rest of the tour group that weren't part of the accident would run towards you and try and grab you. But then the new set of waves come in, and then you're just further behind than everybody else in front of you. So there's a lot of stuff that happened in the ocean and not something you would easily forget. But after we came out, and you we were we went to the hospital to get checked up, some of the community members came, and we had counselors and obviously preachers and pastors from the community in Grootegeluk came to just debrief and help the learners to deal with all everything that happened. And then during that debriefing session with the whole tour group, I only realized that one of the children died from a heart attack. It was like shock.
Sure.
And the other one was also something related to shock or a heart attack in the ocean. And one of the other boys, he was actually a very good athlete in the first rugby team and everything. They suspected that he bumped his head on a rock or something underneath the water, because he was floating in the water. And when they wanted to pick him up, he slipped out of his life jacket.
Ew.
So he was missing in the ocean for 2 weeks about after he washed out. So it was a lot to deal with at the age of 16, and I was also in the ocean for about an hour and a half or 2 hours before I got out.
Ew.
And it was actually very strange, because before we went on the camp, we had Bible sessions every week, and then pastors from different churches would come and just share the gospel with you and talk a bit about God and where you are in life and how you apply that to your relationship with God and how do you welcome him in your life. And it was the strangest two sessions we had before the camp, because the one was, is your relationship with God at the place it should be? Like, in Afrikaans, it was like, is your saak reg mereere? And then the other one was, what would your friend say at your funeral? But it was mostly to say that people won't always remember that you were first in your grade or first year rugby team. They would remember you as the person that you are, how you left them when you leave the room, the feeling you gave them when you exited a room. And that was really, while the accident was happening, was all that I could think about. Like, what are people going to say at my funeral? Are they going to say, oh, Lizelle was first in her grade and she was culture person of the year? And nobody's going to say that.
Yeah,
They're
yeah.
going to remember you like what you do for your community and your family, and the way you made them feel and the differences you made in their life. So after that, it was really like an identity crisis for me, because you go through so much emotions. You feel guilty, because if you sketch the whole scenario to somebody and you say it's like six girls and six boys caught up in the ocean, who do you think would survive?
Yeah.
Nobody would say that the girls would survive, because in your mind it's always the boys are stronger, they are fitter, they know what to do. So it was really the funerals that we attended and seeing the effect of everything that happened. And like, you were so confused, because why me and not them?
Like
Why did I
survivor's
survive?
guilt.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and not them. And then everybody, I think people never know what to say in those situations. They want to give you comfort, and people always would just say, yeah, but God had a plan for your life. And then I would always say, okay, but what about their life?
Yeah.
Why didn't he have a plan for their life? And I went through such a state where I was so guilty with every birthday or with every school event. You would say, but what if, and what if they were here, and what would they do if they were here? And then my mother, like, shame. They supported me so much, because as a teenager you have a lot of questions and doubts, and now with this as well, it's a lot of things to work through. And she told me one day, like, I'm busy living my life with the dead people. Like, I'm not taking my opportunities and I'm not using my second chance at life. I'm just thinking about what if. And I need to start using my second chance that I got to do good and to just to live life to the fullest. So yeah, and then I went through university, and that was a challenge in itself, to find out, okay, but what is my purpose? I got the second chance at life, and now I don't want to waste it. I don't want to disappoint God and not use the chances that he gave me. And then I just I held onto studying medicine, because that's the only way in my head that I could help people. And then I didn't get approved initially to study medicine. I got 6 distinctions in matric, and the door didn't open.
Sure.
So I was really like, okay, God, I really thought this is what I need to do. I need to help people, and in my head, medicine is the way to do it. And then in first year, I went to study BSc Biological Sciences at the University of Pretoria. And while I was studying, I did a bit of self-reflection, and I realized that I won't be able to handle it to go into medicine, because it's one thing to help people and to save lives, but what will happen when I can't save a person? I won't be able to deal with it and go home and like carry on with normal life and not think about it, or not think about what I could have done differently. And then I started finding out about occupational therapy, and I really fell in love with the profession, with the diversity. And I went to the university and I talked to the faculty, how can I say, administrator, and she was such a passionate lady about occupational therapy and helping people. And she talked to me and she's like, she understands that I want to do occupational therapy now, but she really wants to ask me a question. And she's like, do you want to save people or do you want to help people? And then she told me, you can try and save, you can try and help everybody, but you can't save everybody.
Yeah.
Which one will you be able to deal with? So, in university, the course was quite difficult and intense. Everybody who studies occupational therapy will tell you it's quite an intense course. So I never made time to prioritize my relationship with God again, because you're just trying to keep literally head above water.
Yeah.
And then my brother started attending the church in Boxburg, and he invited me to come to the church. And initially you were just going because you're almost done with university and you need to start making new friends again and find your feet in a new place again. And then there was a service with a guest pastor from another, I think it was from America, the pastor. And it literally felt that he was talking directly with me. And you know that feeling of everything else is just zoned out and this guy is talking just to me. And I got so emotional in that service, because I think all the emotions and all the guilt I kept for myself, and I didn't, and I was angry at a stage. It's bad to say that you were angry with God, but you wanted answers.
Honestly.
And you wanted to know why it happened. And the accident had such a big impact on my life, not just being in high school, but even now. I'm not the most spontaneous person that you'll meet. So I'll rather check out everybody else doing it and then I will go and do it. But and then since that service, I started walking a path with God again. And I went forward because they had like an altar call and people we prayed with you and stuff. And the pastor who stood in front of me, he just said to me, you have to forgive yourself. And he didn't know me and he didn't know my story and anything like that. And I know it wasn't my fault, but I carried so much guilt over the years for surviving and getting a second chance. And when he said that to me, it really just felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
So when I got involved in the church, it was obviously music has been a big part of my life. It's really a big passion of mine. And the worship team was always singing And I always had that yearning in my heart to be a part of the band and just to be involved in that. And then we went on a young adults plan. And Morne and that side is also with me in Veranda. He asked me like a week or two before the camp if I know you won't relent at the song. And I was like, yes, I know it. But I really didn't know the song at all.
Liar.
I know, but I just wanted like so badly to be in the band. So that evening, I started learning that song. I knew the words, I knew the melody, I knew the harmonies, I knew everything. And it just didn't happen that he scheduled me to sing. And on that camp, it was really, oh, such a big breakthrough moment for me in my walk with God and my relationship with God. Because on the camp, the pastor had like a whole thing about the ultimate you. And he asked the one session, what is in your hands that God can use to build his kingdom? And I was like, yo, I really have this passion for music and for singing especially. And I really just so badly want to be used. Well, I want you to be used for his kingdom. I want to be a part of it and just use the talent that he gave me to reach other people and to just tell of the goodness of God. And the next question was, what is standing in your way for him to use what is in your hands? And I realized, like, I'm sometimes my biggest threat in life
Enemy.
because, you're your biggest enemy because you just think you can't do it or you're not good enough or, maybe I'm not talented enough to be part of the worship team. And then on that camp, after that session, we had like a praise and worship session where you could like pray for each other and just spend time with each other and in the presence of God. And Michelle, who was also part of the church, started to play You Won't Relent, and it's a duet song. And when the girls' part came up, I started singing, and he pushed me and he said, hey, sing louder. And I'm like, I can't sing louder because everybody's gonna hear me. And he's like, sing louder, you need to sing louder. And then at the end of the song, we were all just listening to a song and just enjoying this presence. And Mornay turned to me and he's like, what are you doing Sunday evening? And I'm like, no, I'm probably going to church, after the camp. And he's like, no, you're singing in the band. We're doing You Won't Relent.
Listen, yeah, the song that of yours that we do have is Sing Hallelujah from Veranda.
Yes.
And because everybody knows it, and because everybody's been requesting that song a lot on our station, I want to play it so they know that that is the voice that they're hearing on this. But we want to bless you. May the seeds that you sow, this life of meaning that you've been spared for, may it be something that is so precious between you and the Lord. May every single time you use that voice He's given you, you recognize it as Ephesians 2:10, that your good works were prepared for you to walk in them, that you are His masterpiece, that He loved creating you. He loved making your voice to sound exactly what it sounds like, so that we can enjoy it and be blessed by it as well. And may your life count. That's what we want to bless you with in the name of Jesus.
Oh, amen. Thank you very much.